The title for my sermonette today is The King's Seer. There was a sermon that was given a few weeks back by a minister, and in that sermon they read a certain passage and it talked about a certain seer. The word caught my ear. My wife is looking at me oddly. It's seer, S-E-E-R. Anyways, this word caught my ear because it's not one that we hear a lot. It's not something that's used on a daily basis. But there it was in the Bible. And so I started looking into this word a little bit more. Now, before I go into what this word means, there is another word that's very much like it, and it's very close in nature. And that word is the word prophet. The Bible oftentimes uses this word prophet, and it comes from the word Navi, N-A-V-I, and it's translated as spokesman. And the root meaning of this word Navi means to bubble forth and to speak by inspiration. The word emphasizes that a prophet oftentimes was very powerfully used to give verbal messages under inspiration by God. Many times in the Bible we see that this prophets were used in proclaiming God's truth, his laws, and giving warnings for disobedience, but also for giving promises when people would obey. Just in reference, Jeremiah 1 and verse 9, we see what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 1 and verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." So, very aptly, Jeremiah was a prophet ordained by God. Now we'll transition to the word seer. And it has two main Hebrew terms, roah, R-O-E-H, and it literally means one who sees or one who can perceive. And then the second word is chozeh, and I'm probably murdering both of those, so apologies. And this one means one who has visions. So, one who can perceive and one who has visions. The seers were able to perceive what other people could not. They received insight through dreams, through visions, through spiritual perception, and then they shared it. The prophet, and he was also a prophet, but the prophet Samuel was called a seer. In 1 Samuel 9 and verse 9, we read, 1 Samuel 9 and verse 9, "In former times in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he would say, 'Come, and let us go see the seer.'" So they would try to understand what God's will was by going and talking to the seer. In verse 17 of this same chapter, 1 Samuel 9 and verse 17, we read something interesting. It says, "So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people.' Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, 'Please, tell me, where is the seer's house?' Samuel answered Saul and said, 'I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost for 3 days, or that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious for them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all of your father's house?'" Samuel here is telling Saul that he was the one in communication with God, that he knew where these donkeys were that Saul was looking for. But it shows that even in some of these mundane things like a donkey missing, God was the one who gave Samuel the proper vision, the proper understanding. Both roles of prophet and seer are slightly different, as not every prophet was called a seer. When seer is used, it is showing the spiritual clarity that God gives at a point in time to those people who were seers. Now, I think it's fair to say that these roles often overlapped, as some of the people were doing both jobs, similar to how we are going to be called kings and priests. Two different jobs, two different roles, and yet both of them are applied to us in the future. The prophet Gad was also called a seer. His role was especially visionary, guiding David through visions, and yet he had both of these titles appointed to him. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 11, we read, "Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying," and I will stop there. But you can see both of those terms are being applied to Gad here. It's not one or the other, but both. Now, very interestingly, we read that Nathan is only called a prophet. And yet, he was around at the same time that Gad was. They were working together, most likely. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2, we read this, "That the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside curtains.'" And then in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 29, we read, "Now the acts of King David, first and last, indeed, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer." So you can see some interesting overlaps in that scripture. Either way, seer, prophet, or both, these men were used in direct ways by God. They were called for specific purposes, for situations where God needed them to be. So I want to use this knowledge to look at a few other scriptures as we continue to build more understanding around this. And the first scripture that I want to look at is in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10 and 11. Now we're switching from past to present. Isaiah 30 and verse 10 and 11, "Who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" This was written by the prophet Isaiah under inspiration by God. But it doesn't really matter what time this was written, because society has always been this way. You can see here, they want nothing to do with God's seers. They want nothing to do with prophets and what these people say to them. They don't want to hear words. They don't want to have understanding. All they care about is wanting to live their lives how they want to live their lives. They don't want to have to change how they live their lives. And so society becomes worse and worse. The seers and the prophets of old helped keep things more or less down the straight and middle. They attempted to help people to remain close to God. I find it interesting that David had a seer and a prophet helping him, both Nathan and Gad. They all three were responsible for keeping things going straight, helping people. In Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18, we read, "Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites." You see, the king was responsible before God to keep the law going, not just for himself, for everybody. If there is strong leadership that is following God's laws, then even when people start to slip away, the majority of the people should be able to help bring them back in line. The next scripture that I wanted to use is found in Proverbs 29 and verse 18. And while it does not say the word seer or prophet, the idea is the same. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. This word revelation here can also read prophetic vision. So as we pull back from these ancient biblical times, the idea still holds weight. The truth is the truth. Without proper understanding and a way to go, people lose their way and they cast off, meaning they follow their own ways and their own desires. You can think about how Moses held the vision, kept everyone going a certain way, and when he goes away for 40 days to get more commandments from God, a group of people cast off restraint, and they went straight to idol worship and to debauchery. Now, all the way back in 2014, that feels like a lifetime ago, we published two Q&As asking if there are any true prophets in God's church today. And I just want to quote a part of one of the Q&As. It says, you might want to review our Q&A on prophets in the Church of God today. We explained that the Church of God does not have prophets today in the sense of inspired, We explain that the Church of God does have prophets today in the sense of inspired teaching, including preaching or prophetic events, which are specifically described in the Bible. But the Church of God does not have today ordained or appointed prophets who are revealing godly visions and dreams about the future, who are directly inspired by God concerning prophetic events which are not set forth in Scripture, and who proclaim those previously unknown future events with unerring and infallible godly authority. Continuing, we do not claim that there are presently any ministers in our organizations who have been ordained by God to the rank and function of apostle or prophet, nor do we believe that God has given anyone else outside of our organizations such ranks and functions. When God chooses to set aside some of his ministers for responsibilities, as he will, for instance, in regard to the two witnesses, the fruit of such persons will make this fact abundantly clear to those in God's church. For instance, God manifested and revealed without doubt the apostleship of Herbert W. Armstrong, the late leader, human leader of the former Worldwide Church of God, who died in 1986. Today, even though some claim godly approval for stating that they are apostles and or prophets, it is our judgment that these claims are false, and as in our opinion, they have not manifested the signs of an apostle or prophet in their lives. Now, to my knowledge, we have not revised these understandings from our Q&As, and so these still stand correct. We also point out with the rise of the two witnesses that they will be prophets. With that said, while we may not have prophets or seers currently, it's incumbent upon all of us to stay close to God so that we can have spiritual sight and spiritual understanding and wisdom from God as we walk through these times. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us to anoint our eyes with eye salve so that we can see in order to live this life properly. Brethren, this is going to be needed more and more as we stand in the gap and proclaim the truth as we are appointed by God. It will not be popular. It is not popular. Many of the prophets and the seers were not popular. In light of what happened this week, it made me pause and think about this all the more. Brethren, we need to pray for God's protection, his wisdom, and his strength. We all need it now, and we are going to need it even more in the future. Maybe one day we too will be called the King's Seer.